Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Daniel Giacopelli. On this week's TV review, we're talking glitzy award shows, funny guys and gals leading the TV schedule, and we'll see how well Rob Lowe is recovering after being roasted by Comedy Central last weekend. Joining me from our New York office is Jesse David Fox. He's senior editor for Vulture. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we've reached the end of August, and we're fast approaching this year's Emmy Awards. The nominations were announced back in July, but everybody's putting bets on who they think might take the prizes this year. The leader in the nominations is Game of Thrones from HBO, and I'm wondering if you're hoping that show does well as well.
Yes, I think for the Emmys, as usually how I look at it is, you know, it's almost like a champion that has to be dethroned appropriately enough. Like because it's the same shows every year and the same people vote for it every year, it's really interesting to see what doesn't win that won last year. So Game of Thrones won last year, and if anything, this season is much better than the last one. It's arguably one of the best seasons it had in its entire run. So I'd have to imagine Game of Thrones is going to win big. Also, it has like a zillion nominations throughout the acting categories. I think it's 3 supporting actress nominees, which is like half the category itself.
Do you want them to win, though? Are you rooting for them?
I think I'm rooting for the Americans because, one, I love the Americans, and also it's like kind of a Cinderella story in the Emmys in that, you know, people thought it should have been nominated since its first season, and then out of nowhere, it got a lot of nominations this year. And I think there is something exciting about it goes from not being nominated at all to kind of being nominated and then start to win, and it has that sort of momentum. It's the same thing that kind of happened, I think, with Friday Night Lights' 4th or 5th season, where eventually a show that kind of everyone thought was one of the best instantly kind of got that recognition and then starts winning. So I'm pulling for the Americans, but I'd be very happy with Game of Thrones winning. I think this season was the show in top form.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've never actually watched a full season of Game of Thrones, but I'm totally obsessed with the Americans. Recently got into it. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think it's also just like, it's very television-y. I feel like Game of Thrones, like the amount of money it's spent on it is almost like beyond what we should expect from television, where The Americans is a pretty minor show and yet still feels serialized and pulpy enough that each episode's exciting, but is mostly like at its core just a family drama, which I think is a credit to kind of what TV is at its core.
Were you expecting any particular show to make the nominations that didn't actually make it?
I mean, I thought Orange is the New Black would get some. I think it got completely shut out, at least of the acting categories, where it used to be such a stalwart.
But what about maybe some categories that are unpredictable? I mean, do you think there are any that are completely up for grabs?
Yeah, I think actually Outstanding Comedy Series and actually Comedy down the Row is really interesting because it was even interesting last year where people thought Transparent would kind of come in and start rolling. Because of such acclaim, because of so highbrow, but that for some reason the Emmys were more resistant and chose a more traditional comedy like Veep. And it'll be interesting to see if Veep can continue to hold off Transparent. I think if anything, this season Transparent was worse than the first a little, but also, you know, Emmy voters get bored, so they might nominate something else. Then you have other really great shows in the main series. So I think Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt had a really strong year and could beat it, and the Emmys always have loved Tina Fey. I think Blackish can be really strong. And then the categories I'm probably most watching out for are, oddly enough, Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, which is I'm really excited for. Hopefully Louis Anderson will win for Baskets, where he plays Zach Galifianakis' mom. And then Laurie Metcalf is nominated for 3 awards. Oddly enough, she's, I think, Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, Best Guest Actress in a Drama, and a Best Actress in a Comedy. And I think her performance in Horace and Pete, I don't know if you've seen, but is, in my opinion, the best acting that has happened all year. So I'm really excited for that. And then that OJ series will probably win everything it possibly can.
Do you think, though, it's been, would you call it a vintage year for television?
I think so. I think, you know, Vulture wrote this whole article about peak TV and how many shows there are and so many people creating it. And I think last year in particular, especially when we had like Mr. Robot showing up on USA, a network that was never really associated for kind of premium dramas, then you just had so many shows on Netflix and Amazon and that were so good. And then you had all these kind of this rise of the limited series And, you know, People versus OJ was probably my favorite thing of all of last year, and that was just a one-off thing. I think it was actually a particularly good year. I think comedy was really strong, and I think the Emmys, for the most part, are getting a decent read on what was happening.
Well, the Emmys will take place on the 18th of September. It's hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, live from the Microsoft Theater, and you can follow the proceedings on ABC. So let's talk comedy now. This coming season, we'll see the release of both Atlanta and One Mississippi, two TV series led by comedians. Atlanta's a new series by the comedian Donald Glover. Maybe you could sum up the storyline for us, Jesse.
Sure. So Atlanta is probably a little bit more complicated compared to One Mississippi, which is a smaller story. But Atlanta is about Donald Glover plays, I believe, a guy named Earl who decides he wants to manage his cousin who goes by the name Paperboy, who's trying to create a budding rap career. But it's mostly kind of a depiction of a very kind of surreal yet understated vision of Atlanta. And it's comedic and it's drama. You know, he kind of references David Lynch a lot. It's kind of this kind of bizarro picture of the city through its rap community on out. And it's a very interesting depiction specifically of race in America, which so many different types and visions and versions of people of color, all led by Donald Glover, who, you know, some people know as a rapper, a lot of people know it's just like the silly guy in Community. So there is kind of that tone throughout.
When you're looking at these kind of comedian-led shows, though, I mean, is there anybody really leading the way? I mean, obviously we know Aziz Ansari and Louis C.K. I mean, are any one of those guys the standard bearer of how to do it right?
Sure. I think it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. So you had Seinfeld, obviously, and that kind of set the bar that you're even allowed, really, to have a comedian lead a show and it'd be a big deal. And then Louis really is the standard bearer for this generation of comedian-led shows, which there's more of now than I think there ever has been, because he can say, you know, you can make it autobiographical, semi-autobiographical, but it could still feel very much, you know, like high art, or to that feel like short films or feel like short stories, and can tell, but still be rooted still in a single protagonist that is very similar to your stand-up persona. I think Atlanta, Donald Glover is maybe playing someone slightly different than himself, but not too much. But then Tig, I believe, is playing someone named Tig Notaro, who she doesn't explicitly state if she also does stand-up, but they have her be a radio host. But for the most part, it's very true to her life in the same way that Louis is. And Louis actually is a producer on One Mississippi.
Louis often makes fun of himself, you know, his real-life self in the show. I mean, do you think those series, though, actually do better, the ones that are a bit autobiographical or at least self-referential?
I think if you look at almost all of them over the last 5 years, which there's tons, and you'd be surprised, there's some that you might not even glimpse have heard of. But if you look at you have like One Mississippi, which is, her name is Tig, she's going through her mom dying and she had this illness, which is so strictly based on the biography of her and what we know about her story. Then you even have Atlanta, which, though, you know, Donald Glover was a kid who grew up in Atlanta and then moved to New York for college and then had this very extraordinary comedy career and then became a rapper, it's not based on the story of who Donald Glover is, but that character is definitely rooted in how he views his relationship to the hip-hop community, how he views his relationship to his own racial identity. But then even you have a show like Baskets, which is definitely nothing to do with who Zach Galifianakis is as a regular person. You know, this guy is playing as a guy who trained to be a clown, who then became a rodeo clown. There's something rooted in who Zach Galifianakis is even in that, in so much as kind of that wrestling of the comedy you want to do and the comedy that people will pay you to do. I think there's something rooted then in that story. So I think they're all autobiographical in a way, and as a result, they all are tremendous. I mean, I think you have Difficult People, which is Julie Klausner's show that is rooted in when she used to kind of write recaps, oddly enough, for Vulture, and I have a sweet spot for that just because I read it when she used to write for us. And then I'm trying to think of all the shows. There's so many. There's this Garfunkel and Oates show had a show. I like Aziz's show. I think Aziz is a good reflection of kind of his perspective as a comedian in kind of how analytical it is and how thinky it is. I think the dramatic moments of the show aren't tremendous, but I think he does a really good job of tackling different issues with the show. I think what Louis did was show how versatile this format is. I think with Seinfeld and then kind of Roseanne even and all those shows, it was like, oh, you can kind of put a comedian in the world and they're funny and they'll have a point of view and that will inform the show. And I think Louis showed this format, this idea of a comedian auteur, has so much flexibility in terms of how serious it can get, how dramatic it can get, how particular, how small of an observation it can go, how lavish and how elaborate of a production it can go. And I think that is really the thing that everyone else has been inspired by.
All right, well, those two shows we were talking about a bit earlier. One Mississippi, it's available on Amazon Prime on the 9th of September, and Atlanta will hit FX on September the 6th. And we're going to end now with the Rob Lowe roast. It was recorded last Saturday. It's set to air next Monday. Before we get into the highlights of the show, first, Jesse, do you want to explain what exactly the roast is to people who are living not in America?
So the Comedy Central roast is kind of an offshoot of a tradition called the Friars Club roast. And the Friars Club is an organization in New York. Mostly comedians are members, and they have this thing called a roast, which is you have a guest of honor, and then all of his friends or her friends makes fun of them and also makes fun of everyone else who's making fun of them, you know, and that is a tribute. So a few of the Friars Club roasts were televised on Comedy Central, and then eventually Comedy Central decided to take it on themselves. So they do their own roasts, and as a result, they're a little bit weirder. The guests aren't all comedians. The guests are sometimes, you know, Martha Stewart will do it, or this year, Ann Coulter did it. And, you know, you have these people that you don't associate at all with comedy, and then you have these guests like Rob Lowe or Justin Bieber or Donald Trump did one only 4 years ago or so, and they make fun of them and they make fun of everything. And it's a really, when it works, it is one of my favorite things to watch. I have not seen the Rob Lowe one, obviously, because it hasn't aired yet, but it does seem like a classic mix of the type of people they get.
Yeah, it seems like Ann Coulter actually took a lot of insults against herself when this happened too.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of the beast. I think, at least in the States, there's a tradition that's starting to happen where friends have roasts for like their 30th birthday or their 40th birthday. And I remember I did one, and there's certain friends that you want to make sure also do it so you feel comfortable making fun of them. And I think Comedy Central knew that she'd be a good target, but also knows that she's totally willing to be insulted if it means she gets to be on television. So she got the worst, because I think Rob Lowe is a non-traditional target, in that he is liked by everybody and doesn't really have anything that he's trying to get past. You'll see with a lot of roasts, like with Justin Bieber roast or the Donald Trump roast, which are classic examples, these are people that people kind of hate for certain reasons, and the roast is kind of like a purging process. You know, you kind of get rid of these bad feelings you have of a person, allows them to move on. And I think Justin Bieber's career is a classic example of how beneficial roasts can be for your public perception. And Donald Trump was the same thing. He got roasted, and I think he, you know, who knows if he would credit it, but some people think, like, without that roast, who knows if he'd ever be able to run for president. So I think Ann Coulter is kind of the most toxic person there, and you have a bunch of comedians, and she's the easiest person to make fun of, because Rob Lowe is great and lovable and smiles and laughs at everything.
Yeah, somebody said about Ann Coulter, "Ann, you're awful. The only person you'll ever make happy is the Mexican who digs your grave."
Yes, I think that was Nikki Glaser.
It was.
Who is in the kind of prime spot that Comedy Central always puts one of their own in, which is like, we're developing TV shows with this person. We want to put them in a pretty high profile. And she's a fantastic comedian, a great joke writer, and someone who I was kind of excited to see on this.
And the Rob Lowe roast will air on Labor Day. That's next Monday, the 5th of September, on Comedy Central. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Thanks to my guest, Jesse David Fox. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review. I've been Daniel Giacopelli. My producer was Holly Fisher. The researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be discussing the work of Stanley Kubrick with the Rio Cinema's Oliver Meek. But for now, that's goodbye, and thanks for listening.